Assalamu alaikum, ladies. Alhamdulillah, I finally did it. I actually wrote a book. It's dedicated to all the single Muslim mothers out there, hence the name, How to Be a Single Muslim Mum. Inshallah, it's available as an ebook, paperback, and it will be available as an audio. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum, sisters, for the support. Check out the link in the description to get yours. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of Single Muslim Motherhood. Alhamdulillah, we have with our sister Khalila today, and I've talked to her previously as well for the Naqabi Darij podcast, alhamdulillah, and she's going to, inshallah, share with us some of her experiences of single motherhood. So, sister, could you give us a small introduction and tell us how you became a single mother?
Okay, assalamu alaikum. I am Khalila, serial entrepreneur. Love that title. Forget serial killer, serial entrepreneur, alhamdulillah. I run Power of Voice Academy, which is a public speaking academy for Muslim in business and experts to really up level using their greatest tool, which is their voice. I also work alongside another beautiful sister in Homeschool Queens. So alhamdulillah, busy, busy. And yes, I'm a single mother of four. Alhamdulillah.
Wow, mashallah. Yeah. SubhanAllah, four. Wow, Allahumma barik. I really admire you, like, big respect, alhamdulillah. Okay, so how did you get to be a single mother?
Okay, yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm a divorced woman. I've been divorced twice, and there's such a big stigma around that, but subhanAllah, we know there was sahabiyat in the same predicament, and sometimes qadr mashafa'al is what's needed.
Yes.
Obviously, we strive to be in marriages. I think there's a big problem where people think you want to be a single mom. No, never, never. Mm, but alhamdulillah, we make do, and we know Allah's tests and blessings are always abundant.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Okay, so so how long have you been a single mom? You mentioned you've been divorced twice. So is there, I'm assuming that there's separate periods that you were like single, obviously a single mother now, but before you was also single. So what other periods of length that you were single for?
Okay. So I got married really young, right? So I became Muslim at 19. I was married at 20. First baby just turning 21. Alhamdulillah. I came out of that marriage after 6 or 7 years. I can't remember exactly.
Mashallah, snap.
But I was only, like,
literally exactly the same as me.
I was only single for a year. And I really do feel like this is a message that needs to be got out to our sisters. You need to heal. You need to heal, otherwise the same things you were attracting, you're going to attract again. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to be able to heal, to strengthen yourself, strengthen your connection with Allah before you rush to get married again, because it was only a year and it was too quick for sure. Single mom again now, a good number of years, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So it's interesting that you mentioned that as well about the gap between marriages, because it's one of the things that I've actually mentioned in my book. I'm just in the second marriage now, but it's been after a period of 12 years. So, and I always, I always advise women, like, when you've been divorced, don't try to rush to get into marriage again, like, quickly as well, because you do need time to process your thoughts. And when you've got children, it's different from maybe somebody who doesn't have any kids, because you don't only have to think and worry about yourself, you're thinking and worrying about your children as well. And I think what happens, unfortunately, with a lot of single mothers, especially maybe even refits as well, because we seem to be a little bit more vulnerable in the community because we're not coming from Muslim families. But I think that often people are rushing us to get remarried. And I'm saying that because that's what I've seen personally. I remember there was a sister in the community that I was living in previously, and subhanAllah, she hadn't even finished her iddah, and she had two young babies. Like, there was, like, I think the oldest one can't have been more than three, but she had two babies, and already, like, there was a brother up seriously approaching her for marriage, like, while she was in the iddah. And I said to her, well, you're not even allowed to be approached for marriage while you're in iddah. He can make a suggestion that he might be interested, but he can't be actually proposing. But he full on proposed, And it was like he was really pushing the sister to get married. And the sister was very clear that she didn't want to get remarried, and that she actually was still in love with her husband, because he'd had his own issues and, that had, like, made him give her the divorce, which I think it was influenced by other people, basically, not her. So it's like he was being pressured to divorce her, which he didn't really want to do. And she was still in love with him. And it's just like, well, you're trying to marry a sister who is definitely not ready to get remarried. She's not even like let go of her previous husband yet, and he doesn't sound like he's let go of her either, you know. So and I just thought it was just crazy, you know. And the excuse that was given by this brother, who was supposed to be somebody knowledgeable, was that he thought it would be good dower for him to marry a revert. And I just thought, like, seriously, like, is this the kind of things like reverts are being told, you know? And I thought it was really terrible, because she was really, really in a vulnerable situation, you know? So, yeah, but I just wanted to mention that, because I just think it's really relevant to point that out, because in my book, as I said, I mentioned that, and it's not because I'm against sisters trying to get married again. And sometimes you might say something like that, and people might think they're the exception to the rule, or that, you know, it could be something that, you know, maybe you're jealous as well, because, oh, you know, you haven't been able to get yourself a man as quickly as me, or something like that, you know. And obviously there's going to be exceptions to the rule. I'm not saying definitely don't do it, but I think women need to take time to sort out themselves, especially when you've had you know, you need to have that clarity of mind, and, you know, learn about yourself properly before you kind of jump into another marriage, because you don't want to repeat exactly the same mistakes again, basically. So yeah, I just wanted to add that in there, subhanAllah. So
no, it's really important.
Yeah, so what are some of the stigmas that you feel that you've encountered as a single Muslim mother within the Muslim community itself?
I would say certainly, you know, there's really different stigmas that you get. Some of them are going to be like, oh, poor you, miskina. And alhamdulillah, of course, like, we want to help. It's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, alhamdulillah, there are so many blessings that happen when you have a husband and you're in a family. And obviously it's a lot harder as a single woman, but it is possible, alhamdulillah. It is possible. You just find the strength and keep going. And then I think the other stigma, which is probably a lot more common, is, well, you just want to be a strong woman, and you must be, you know, subhanAllah, you know, I really, as most women, you know, we know the role of a wife is, there is obedience. It's beautiful. You want to please your husband. I think there's a big stigma that the single sisters must be really outspoken and really da-da-da-da-da in their masculine energy, all this new stuff that's coming out. And in reality, that isn't the case. Like, there are single women who are single women due to abuse, due to varying different factors where that marriage was not an environment to remain in anymore.
Exactly.
And I think that's a big stigma. Or you just want to be on your own. Well, no, we don't. Like, obviously, alhamdulillah, from we find strength to get up and keep going. And we do things in order, you know, I have to be the one that provides for my children. Hence why, alhamdulillah, I've fallen in love with business, but that is what started my journey. There's no one else providing. It's all on my shoulders. So obviously, you know, it's very easy to get that stigma and be like, well, she's just out there doing her thing. No, alhamdulillah, we do what we've got to do because we have mouths to feed.
Exactly.
And alhamdulillah, in that, I've grown and fallen in love with what I do and been able to work with some phenomenal entrepreneurs, phenomenal Muslims. But obviously, ultimately, sometimes for many of us, there isn't a choice. We've got to get up. We've got to get going. We've got mouths to feed. And yeah, definitely that stigma with all this masculine energy stuff, that needs to go.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. SubhanAllah. So what would you, who have you had as your support system? Who've been your main support system in this journey of single Muslim motherhood?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm really blessed. Like, obviously, my parents are non-Muslim, but they've been a phenomenal support system. May Allah guide them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been amazing. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, my sister's Muslim. I've had that, and I've got some beautiful friends. And I do know for myself, I'm very, very blessed in that regard. I do also know many sisters who don't have that, which it really is difficult. Mm-hmm. I think another stigma actually is the whole, is she just going to stop practicing? And you know, I do see that a lot. And I don't think it's because our sisters, that's it. They just became Muslim for the man. That's not the reality. It's that going through a divorce is one of the hardest things you can ever encounter. And you go through such a wave of emotions. Obviously, shaitan's going to come in. Obviously, your iman's going to drop. You know, this is quite common. But it's so important for us to just keep holding on, because ultimately we're Muslim for Allah, and the people are not perfect, and we're going to get put into tests. And if we can just keep striving, that's the only thing, that's what's got me through. It's being able to stay holding on to the rope of Allah, not letting that slip, because I don't know how you could, if we didn't have Allah through these tests, I don't know what state we'll be in. That is what keeps us. So I really do urge my beautiful sisters and brothers who go through such big tests, just hold, no matter how much, hold on to your deen. Just
absolutely.
May Allah keep us all guided.
I mean, absolutely. And it's good that you mentioned that, because I think definitely when you're a revert, it's like you feel, I felt that at least in the beginning, like all eyes were on me, like, is she still gonna like be Muslim, kind of thing, you know. And you know what, this you know, sisters you know, kind of stopping practicing after getting divorced is not something which is unique to reverts. It also happens with sisters who have been born Muslim. I've seen that as well, you know, so I wouldn't say that there is like one is more or less, you know. So it just depends on, you know, depends. Some people go through certain amounts of trauma, and, you know, depending on like what they feel is, you know, being part of their, you know, negative experience, they may stop practicing. And it's unfortunate that people do that. But I think that is also due to lack of knowledge as well of the deen, you know, like you said, because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's really going to help us to get through. And I notice, or sometimes sisters, that they if they don't stop practicing altogether, maybe they'll take the hijab off, for example, or something like that, you know. So there's like these different things. And I had a discussion with some sisters a couple of years back, actually, on the channel, but it was about this specific topic of sisters getting divorced and deciding to like remove their hijab, you know. And it's, you know, apart from removing their hijab, we have the fitna now of social media. So people are putting themselves on social media, like trying to look appealing. And, you know, it doesn't go well, because obviously you might be on a journey and that's fine. But, you know, by advertising yourself and like showing that you're, you know, kind of in this stage, like you're making yourself basically be more vulnerable to predators, basically. Because yeah, I think a lot of the men who see women doing this kind of thing, especially when you was practicing and covering before, you letting yourself like, and you're opening up yourself to you know, things that might not, will probably most likely not going to be best for you. So we really need to bear that in mind and be careful about that. So what advice, or what kind of help do you think single Muslim mothers need?
Compassion, first and foremostly. Check in on her, you know. It's the little things, like in the Ramadan, especially if your children are young, you're getting up alone, you're eating alone, you're fasting, you know, these things can really get at you in times that should be really happy. I know in my first Eid as a single mom, when my older two were youngest through the first divorce, I struggled so much. And because it's a time of happiness and a time of family. And we need to check in, and we need to do more. We need to have more community spaces, less judgment. If you do see your sister struggling, just be there without a wagging finger. It's just being compassionate, less judgment, and support. The best support is consistency. Just knowing people are there picking up the phone. And it's not easy. We live in such busy times, and it's so funny because obviously with social media, we're so connected, but we're the least connected we've ever been as a generation. Yeah, and it's absolutely. Just because of the fact that, right, you know, you see someone posting on social media and you think, okay, I've checked in with them today, they're fine. But you don't know the reality of what's going on behind
definitely.
And that's where we need to like really take the time to care in on our sisters and just check in. How are they really doing? I would say that's a really big thing that's needed for support, especially through the early stages as they're going through the whirlwinds of emotions.
Absolutely. So what about the children's stability? How have you been able to kind of, you know, cope with that? Obviously you mentioned that, you know, you started your own business, you're a serial entrepreneur, Alhamdulillah Barik. So that's definitely obviously I'm assuming that's obviously been a big part of it, because we have to support our children financially. But apart from the finance side, how else have you been able to create this stability for them? And are you doing co-parenting, for example? Are you getting good, what about the education? You mentioned that you're a homeschooler. I also did homeschooling, so I want you to talk about that as well if you can, and the emotional support as well.
Yeah, I think it's really important first and foremostly to just remember no matter if you're going through whatever with your ex-partner, whatever they are, whatever they did, it's not the children's fault. They didn't ask for any of this. Mm-hmm. And this is really important. Obviously, I think what's really important through the early stages, especially like I said, you are dealing with a roller coaster of emotions, that you're going to be feeling very upset at times. You're going to, this is normal. It is really like going through a divorce is really like a grieving period. You've lost your dream of having a family, and there's so many different emotions that you're going to go through: self-blame, hatred towards that. You know, there is a normal roller coaster of emotions. I think it's really important to give yourself time to grieve, but try and do it away from the kids. I know it's easier said than done if sisters have mental health, other issues. Alhamdulillah, I don't have mental health, but you know, it's still not easy. It's still so, so difficult, subhanAllah. But definitely for me, building connections with my children, I'm very open with my children. That was the most important thing for me. You know what? Forget everything else for a minute. Forget everything else. Let's just concentrate on building ourselves up together and having that strength. And, you know, you can't be mom and dad. And I think you put a lot of pressure on yourself, especially if you're not co-parenting. You know, especially if the father isn't present for whatever reason, you can't fill that void. You can't be the father. And you can feel a lot of guilt of, you want them to have a father. You want that figure. And if they aren't present, you just have to keep being the best version of yourself. And if they are, I would say try your best to co-parent amicably. Like, it's so important that we just strive our utmost best to keep the thoughts we have to ourselves and not to the children, no matter
exactly,
what.
Exactly.
So important that we don't put it on them, because even if you see things and you know things, it really, they'll work it out for themselves. They will work it out for themselves. But I think it's very important that we don't tarnish their thoughts of their parent, because at the end of the day, it's their parent.
Exactly.
I feel quite strongly in that.
Yeah,
how you feel about that?
Oh no, 100% agree. I think that's one of the biggest challenges that some of us can have, especially like, you know, like you mentioned, if you're in a co-parenting situation, you have to do it amicably. And then if you don't have that as well, but then like there's an in-between, like, because I think I've kind of had the in-between where it's not been really co-parenting, but it's been like, you know, he's there, but he's not. So, you know, that kind of is like there's three different situations you can be in, and they're all like really difficult to, you know, be able to like, you know, live with, you know. So, subhanAllah, like that's one of the things, like when you have these feelings towards your ex as well, it's like you don't want to try to make, like, you know, you're not trying to tell your children, oh, this person is this and that and the next, because as you said, it's their father. So it's like, and it's having that you know, trying to pick up for these kind of shortfalls where you have to still encourage your children, if the father is interested, that, you know, you encourage that, like those children to, you know, have that relationship with their dad, which can be really, really hard, because, you know, if he's got this kind of like, you know, inconsistent kind of you know, way of like connecting with them, like for children, like, you know, they it's like it's not the norm. It becomes something which is not normal. So it's not like having somebody all the time and then you don't have them. It's like it's just once in a while kind of thing. So he the father sometimes, in my case at least, can almost become like somebody who's like a distant relative, you know, with regards to how often, you know, they see or hear from him, you know. So it's just like you have to, it's like every time they come back, you have to start from scratch with encouraging your child to have a relationship with this person, because, oh, it's their dad. It's not, and it's not a distant relative, it's their dad. So it's a big deal. They have to fulfill certain rights as well towards their father. So this is like, that was like for me, like one of the major, major challenges, because that's just another job that you have to do that is, it's difficult. Like, it's really, really hard, because like sometimes you'll have to, you know, I've known sisters is like, they have to literally force their kids to go and see the father, because it's like he's not showing them any interest, and then when he decides that he feels like seeing them, it's like the kids were like, well, why do I need to see you? Do you know what I mean? Because they don't have that relationship. So that's another job that single mothers have to do, you know, when there hasn't been that, you know, when he hasn't had that consistent contact and communication with his children, you know, even if it's via phone or, you know, anything. You know, so it's one of the biggest challenges, and you have to suppress a lot of your own emotions, put them to the side, so that your children can get the benefit of or any potential benefit of this relationship, subhanAllah. So
I think there needs more support in that for sure. Helping women navigate through that is very, very important. And you mentioned before about the education. I just wanted to add, one of the best things that I've done for my children, like after healing myself and working on myself, was the business. And I would say, obviously, business isn't for everyone, but to do something that you love, because them seeing me doing something that I love and striving in something that I love has a ripple effect on them.
Absolutely.
Because they know to pour into themselves as well. So although it is so difficult being single mom and there's so much time that you need to give the kids, you also need to make sure you're prioritizing yourself as well. And in itself, that is one of the best educations you can give them, because they can then see that they need to look after themselves too. And ultimately, that's what we want. Right.
Absolutely. And can you just talk a little bit about the homeschooling? Because I did homeschooling. I personally found that it was the easiest solution for me in the beginning. My kids were in school for a short space of time, but then I did start homeschooling both of them, and I found that that was much easier. But a lot of sisters think that if you're a single mother, especially, that homeschooling is like completely out of the question and it's like not practical for us. So could you share some of your experience and why you personally felt homeschooling was the better option for you?
Yeah, homeschooling, I think, has been one of the biggest glues for my small family to gel together. And it's just been the connections that we've been able to build in the extra time that we have together. I think people think, well, I'm becoming a single mom, I'm going to have to put them in school. There's no way I can cope. And I know I have to work, all these things come in the mix. But actually, if you can find a way to work from home, homeschooling is a beautiful option, and it's been the best decision, because alhamdulillah, obviously it's not easy. There's times when you're like, I just need a break. But in reality, the bonds you get to build, the way that they get to experience life in a different way, because homeschooling really allows what I like to call life learning.
Yes.
Where they're learning in situations and predicaments all the time, where you're able to just explore their interests and help them to blossom. And I think homeschooling is a great healer. So there is a lot of misconceptions towards how could you possibly homeschool as a single mom, and no, it's not. I've absolutely loved homeschooling, and alhamdulillah, it's been a really big blessing. So yes, if you're a single mom, you can homeschool. I know so many single moms who homeschool, and like me, once you get past the idea that it has to be school at home and you really realize that there isn't a routine, it's the routine that works for you, mm-hmm. then you really realize how amazing it is. And like I said, the bonds that can form, the conversations you're going to have, you just grow together, and it's absolutely a big, big blessing, alhamdulillah. And obviously you can try and instill the tawheed in them, and that above everything else is worth everything.
Alhamdulillah, absolutely, absolutely. I think it's like good that you mentioned that homeschooling doesn't mean that you just have to be at home. You can go anywhere, literally. And one of the best things about it, I found, was that it meant that I could go on holiday whenever I wanted, because I didn't have to think about when is school holidays. And when you go if you want to go on holiday outside of the seasonal times, it's actually much cheaper. So you can travel for cheaper as well with your kids, like to go abroad, you know. So that was something that we really enjoyed, alhamdulillah.
And the parks are empty. Everything's empty.
Exactly. So there's so many benefits, subhanAllah. Even if you want to go to like museums and galleries and things like that, you know, you've just got so much option. You can wake up and literally just decide what you're going to do on the day. You know, it's easy, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, definitely. It is. It's lovely.
So, okay, what kind of, what would you say were some of the causes of emotional pain for single Muslim mothers?
Okay, emotional pain for single mothers. Fear, I would say fear would be a big one, because you really fear your child, like I said, especially if the father's not present or not really fulfilling the role you fear, or even if he is, you still fear that them coming from a broken home means they're going to repeat the cycle, mm-hmm. means that they're not fulfilled. And I think that keeps a lot of us in very unhappy or dangerous marriages when we have children, because we believe that they're going to be broken, they're not going to be able to blossom, they need both parents. And yes, ultimately they do need both parents, and it's always the best option. But if it's a toxic environment, they're actually going to be better with just you. Mm-hmm. That's the reality. if they are away from danger or you're away from danger, especially, then you can help mold them, well, alhamdulillah, help them to grow and blossom, like I said before. So yeah, there's so many different pains. But I would say fear is a really big one. Mm-hmm. Heartbreak in the beginning, obviously, mm-hmm. especially if it was like the love of your life and mm-hmm. you really wanted it to work out. That's a big one. It really is like a loss. In the yeah. beginning stages, it's like a roller coaster. And it's like, did I do the right thing? You question, but this doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, Allah will give you the certainty after a while as you heal to know, alhamdulillah, especially if you're out of a situation that was dangerous or toxic, alhamdulillah, there's respite. So, you know, yeah. I would never, ever encourage divorce, ever, mm-hmm. ever, you know. It's hated by Allah for a reason. There's so many blessings and benefits in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is toxic or dangerous, then, you know, that's why it is allowed.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And how would you say is how can we deal with, for example, these kind of causes of emotional pain? So you mentioned fear and you mentioned as well heartbreak. How can we deal with some of those emotions?
It's time. I would say it's time. I think you have to ride them. Don't suppress them. Feel, allow yourself to feel when the kids go to sleep. Alhamdulillah, I don't cry anymore or anything, like alhamdulillah. But in the beginning, of course I did. Mm-hmm. Of course I did. But allow yourself to feel. When you suppress it and block it up, which a lot of us do because we've got to put coping hat on because we're mom, right?
Yeah.
But when we don't allow ourselves to feel, it can be really dangerous because we can show it in other ways, in frustration, and we need to feel. Try and find a support, especially been through it and has healed, a positive influence
mm-hmm.
in the religion, someone who, you know, can support you, because it does really help. As much as there are so many sisters that are your friends and have your back, it does really help to speak to someone who's been through it and who understands and who can help guide you to navigate you through these different emotions, because the beginning is a lot, right? But it does get easier, and alhamdulillah, you really will heal. You do not feel like that forever.
Inshallah, alhamdulillah, mashallah, really good advice. What would you say are some of the misconceptions about single Muslim motherhoods there are in the Muslim community? I think you mentioned one earlier that was kind of a response. I think you mentioned one earlier, which was kind of related to being a reaver. So you mentioned that, you know, sometimes people are expecting that you're going to stop practicing. But are there any other kind of misconceptions you feel there are towards Muslim mothers in the Muslim community?
I think I mentioned this earlier, but it's just this idea that that's what you want, that you were just trying to be independent, feminist woman. But like I said, that really isn't the case. I don't think there's any woman that wants to be single. You want a family, but, you know, there are predicaments that happen. And sometimes when you look at a woman, especially if she's been divorced more than once, mm-hmm. then you get tarnished with a brush that is, well, you just bring it on yourself. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that, you know, trauma runs deep. And sometimes when you attract a certain person, especially if it's been through abuse and you didn't heal, that's why I said heal, take your time. Mm-hmm. You just attract the same person again, in a different body, but it's the same.
The same, yeah.
Just attract, and then you know what? If you come out of that and you don't heal, you just keep on attracting that. And that's why it's so important. You could end up having 7, 8, 9 divorces, and you know, it's because you just kept on attracting the wrong person because you didn't heal and take time to know yourself, love yourself, connect with Allah before rushing into another toxic marriage. And that's why I think it's very quick for people to look at someone who's divorced multiple times and be like, well, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But actually, mm-hmm. we need more work in helping our sisters to strengthen themselves, not in a way of being independent woman, no, in a way of having boundaries that mean that they're not attracting abusers.
Of course, absolutely. And especially, I think when you're young, this is, you know, like, because we both married basically young at the same age. So like, I think one of the things that happens when you're young is that you have an idea of what marriage is going to be. And when you meet somebody, even if you see that they have certain flaws about them, you kind of ignore those things and you look to the positive aspects about them as well. So, I mean, obviously this is kind of another topic. We're not trying to tell people how to get married, but like these are some of the experiences that you go through. So like, especially the younger that you are, what I mean is that like when you're the younger that you are, you have, I think, more kind of optimism in you. You feel more positive about people, and you know that you have your own flaws as well. So when you see that somebody else might not have some so-called, so you know, maybe some not so good things about them, you ignore them and you brush them to the side because you think, well, we're going into this thing together and it's going to be good, inshallah, we'll just work through it, you know, we'll process these things, we're both trying to build ourselves as people, so inshallah it's gonna work out. So because we have this kind of, you know, I don't want to say it's fairy tale because I don't think it is specifically fairy tale. I think sometimes we are trying to be realistic, but this doesn't help, does it? Yeah, definitely. I think we are trying to be realistic, but it's giving people the benefit of the doubt because to a certain extent in our religion, we are told to have good thoughts about people. So we are basically doing that. You know, we can't just like, you know, just if you look at everybody like, you know, when you criticize men, you get get labeled a feminist, isn't it? So it's like when you're not criticizing them, you know, I don't know what you'd call that, but we have to be kind of you know, critical in a positive way so that we don't, as you said, fall into like making the same mistakes again. And that comes down to looking at ourselves really like in a reflective way and trying to make sure that we understand ourselves, like you mentioned, and also that we understand ourselves to the extent that and we can think about who's going to be compatible with us.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? I'm really glad you touched on that because if I could advise my younger self, there'd be a couple of things I would say. Number one, it would be you don't need to have savior complex.
Yeah.
You don't need to save someone.
Absolutely.
You need to marry someone that's already a whole person, exactly. Not someone that you need to fix. Come in and fix. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because that it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
You can't change people.
Absolutely.
As much as you, especially if you're like empathetic and you just really want to help everyone, that can't be your husband. Your husband absolutely needs to be whole. And the second is compatibility. There really needs to be more teachings that being a Muslim is not enough to get married.
Exactly.
We're Muslim, we're Sunni, tick, 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 let's get married. No. Yeah. You need to know that this brother, if it was a sister, you'd be friends.
Exactly.
There needs to be a level of compatibility that you actually 100%. Get on, that you have similarities, you like similar things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that is where I got very lost because I just thought, well, we're all Muslims, we're all just going to be amazing. Yeah, but you know, we still have our traumas, our personalities.
Exactly.
We have to find the right person that we connect with, alhamdulillah.
Yeah. So what would you say one of the like hardest things that you've had to deal with as a single Muslim mother has been so far?
There's a lot. One would be my non-Muslim family, because I feel like that was really hard for me because they already have this horrible misconception from media about Muslim men. And I do know there are some amazing Muslim men. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a Muslim man. There are some great brothers in great marriages, and qadr mashafa'a, you know, I had my tests. And I feel like that was a really big challenge because it was just, here we go again. And I really didn't want that for da'wah for them.
Yes.
That was really difficult. That was really difficult. Definitely, it would be the children trying to do the right thing by them, not having anyone else to support you in bringing them, you know, I can't, like I said, I can't be a brother, I have a son, and I think that I really struggle with that. Like, I want to make sure he has the right environment to raise as a good Muslim man. Mm-hmm. And that is difficult. Obviously in the beginning stages, the hardest part was like the emotions and the heartbreak and the pain. And try, you know, I know sisters are going through divorce now, and it's that fear of financial fear.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do? Alhamdulillah, you know, obviously for me setting up a business, I don't have that. Alhamdulillah, Allah is so merciful to allow me to be able to provide for my family. But that definitely can be a fear for many sisters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, subhanAllah. So, okay, on the flip side, what would you say so far has been one of your most validating moments as a single Muslim mother?
These are big questions, mashallah. My most validating moment as a Muslim mom is that we're okay. You know, in those moments where you feel like you're on rock bottom and you can't see how to get back up, know that with time, with years later, you're okay. Like, I no longer have those fears anymore. You know, I look at my children, alhamdulillah, and we have such a beautiful bond by the blessing of Allah. And we're safe. We are safe. We are living. We can pray. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, you know, what more can we really ask for in reality? And yeah, it would be amazing to have had the family and, you know, from the get-go, but we're all tested. We're all tested. I think we're tested with what we love as well, right?
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, alhamdulillah, mashallah.
Okay, being safe.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So finally, what advice would you give to other single Muslim mothers out there who have been single maybe for a long time, or maybe they're just recently become single?
Find yourself. I know that sounds really strange, but I feel like, especially if you've been in a toxic marriage or you were married, you can often lose who you are, mm-hmm. and just become that person that is trying to please someone else, especially if you've been in a very toxic situation where you've always been living on eggshells and you had to kind of numb your suppress your personality.
Yes.
And obviously find yourself again, because I'm telling you, finding myself and what I love, and, you know, having beautiful conversations with amazing sisters like yourself, and connecting with, you know, this is the beauty of even social media, just being mm-hmm. able to do something that you love and having connections and going out, dreaming bigger, as long as they're in the boundaries of Islam, mm-hmm. feels amazing and has that effect on your children, because it allows them to dream bigger. It allows them to know that whatever life, you know, test that you go through, whatever's thrown at you, that you can keep going. So I definitely say to my sisters, find something that you love. It could be sewing, it mm-hmm. could be baking, whatever it is that makes you happy. Find time for yourself and involve your children in it. Don't block yes. them out. Like, when I'm working and doing my entrepreneur and listening to my courses, my kids are with me, so mm-hmm. they're learning and growing in that as well. And alhamdulillah, they all want to be Al-Humabarak entrepreneurs. So if you're going to be loving baking, involve them. But on the flip side, I'm going to say, also take time for yourself.
Definitely.
You can't just be 24/7. So although that is really, might sound like contradictive advice, mm-hmm. it isn't, because you want to have time that you bring them in, mm-hmm. but you also want to have time for yourself. So absolutely. If you have got any support, utilize it. Have them have your children for a little while, even if it's an hour. Or if you haven't got support, wait till they go to sleep. Have a hot drink, whatever yeah. it is. Just take some time for yourself. It's so, so, so important. You can't pour from an empty cup, you know?
Absolutely, 100%, mashallah. I'm really glad that I got this opportunity to speak to you. Alhamdulillah, I'm glad that you agreed to it. It's been really, really beneficial. And I think, you know, mashallah, a lot of sisters, inshallah, they will benefit. And it's just, like, you know, important for sisters to see that, you know, they're not doomed because they've become a single mother, you know, because I think that still, unfortunately, in the Muslim community, the way that Muslim women or single Muslim mothers specifically are seen is, like, you know, especially today, there's a lot of toxic and unhelpful things, I think, that are being said about single Muslim yeah. mothers. Yeah. So, and I think
you're not a lot of people are
getting triggered, like, you know, like it, that they're just yep. setting off triggers one after the next, you know, with some of the things that are being said. So inshallah, yep. I hope that this will be of benefit. I'm sure it will, inshallah. Yeah.
And Allah accept. I really, really do really strengthen the point that you going through a divorce does not make you second rate. You're not a second rate citizen. You're not absolutely. Any less worthy. Mm-hmm. You are still beautiful. You are still worthy. You still have all the blessings Allah gave you with. You still have your personality. All those voices of people that say these crazy things today, don't listen to it. It's not true. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married divorced women. This is a test for you. It doesn't degrade you. And yeah, jazakallah khair for this, because I do think there isn't many opportunities for single moms to have a voice that can represent and show other sisters going through it. You're not alone and you're going to be okay. So may Allah reward you, sis. It's beautiful to see.
I mean, wayaki sister. Barakallahu feekum, inshallah, have a blessed day. And yeah, may Allah bless you and your family. Ameen.
Ameen and yours. Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.